Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Jain Irrigation Systems Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by D.R. Choksey Finserv Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ashwini Trivedi from D.R. Choksey Finserv Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello everyone, and welcome to Jain Irrigation Systems Limited earnings call to discuss Q2 FY25 results. Today we have on call Mr. Anil Jain, CEO and Managing Director, and Mr. Bipin Walamiya, Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements that may involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors, and must therefore be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Future results, performance, or achievements may differ significantly from what is expressed and implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note the results and the presentation are available on the exchange and on our company's website. I now request Mr. Anil Jain to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all for second quarter result discussion and to also see what is the way forward. This has not been a great quarter in terms of revenue or the earning numbers, and it has come less than our own expectations if you think in terms of YOY, because especially our business is not sequential. It does get impacted with seasonality. While India business did not do that well in terms of revenue as well as overall growth, but other businesses, our subsidiary business of food or overseas plastic business, did very well. So it kind of resulted into approximately 12-12.5% negative growth compared to the same period earlier time. But still, the company was able to clock close to 1,200 crore rupees of revenue during this quarter and earned close to 140 crore rupees, a little bit less EBITDA. And for the first 6 months, when you think about it beyond the quarter, it's overall on a PAT basis, company has almost no earning, even though EBITDA is for the 6 months close to 318 crores. So when we look at what went right and what went wrong during the quarter, that both the businesses in India, where we sell drip irrigation to the farmers via dealers, and we sell the pipes and other materials, similar materials also, both of these did not do as well as anticipated. Primarily, it was like a lot of rains across the area where we sell. On an average, rains have been about 20% to 30% more than last year or similar period, which augurs well for subsequent next 4 to 6 quarters. But in this particular quarter, because of consistent incessant rains, it became an issue where fields remained wet and demand for pipe and drip both could not pick up at the farmer level. In addition to that, there was a fact that there are some states where we could have done a little bit more business, but we could not or we did not because the earlier recoveries were still not good enough, and therefore we decided not to take that additional exposure. And some reduction is linked to the project business, where we have decided to kind of wind down the project business. So that was naturally expected. All in all, company has done overall 2,670 crore revenue for the first 6 months, And typically, you know, compared to our normal revenue, we get about 35% to 40% first half and 60% to 65% second half. And it seems this time for us to be able to meet our annual targeted numbers, we might have to do 67%, 68% kind of in the second half, apart from what we could achieve in the first half. So when we think about that, what's going to happen in second half, I think with the kind of good rains which have been there, and they're just stopping as we speak, right? Up to last week, it has been raining across the country. A normal, you know, monsoon withdrawal, you know, starts end September, early October, but it has been delayed by about 3 weeks or so. And so we are anticipating, and as the feedback from our dealers, marketplace, that things should pick up considerably post-Diwali holidays. And so November, December, and January to March, the entire 5 months should remain positive. Some of the business we lost in the this quarter, the first half, has been linked to some of the business such as the, you know, JJM business, where we have a contract and those orders are going to come through, but I think they will come through in the second half. So that can be recovered, what has been lost can would be recovered. We have recently got some additional orders related to solar water pumps, and that would also partially help us to reduce the, you know, deficit in the first half, so that, you know, overall our annual target, we remain close to when we had started in April. Despite these reductions in the revenue and consequent reduction in the earning, we have been able to maintain a better cash flow. And in fact, if I look at overall consolidated debt profile, you know, we have reduced the debt by almost close to 57 crore rupees during the quarter, despite this being a weak quarter in terms of overall revenue and earnings. And if I look at the cash flow statement, our overall investment into maintenance capex, etc., is almost same as last year at this time for the first half, close to about 94 crores. And we anticipate that our overall, you know, spend on maintenance capex and small amount of growth capex will remain actually a little bit better than the last year. Having said this, if I look at overall as a company consol level, including all the businesses put together, we have generated net cash from operating activities for the first half to the tune of almost 340 crores, which last year for the same first half was 303 crores. So there is improvement in net cash being generated from operations. And that's a good number to have when we consider the fact that last entire year we had generated only 534 crores. To generate 340 crores in the first half, I think is definitely positive. And if I just speak about the current quarter, the overall for the standalone cash flow generated from operating activity is 198 crore. So when you think about that, it shows you that it shows that the company has been able to manage its operations efficiently to generate a better cash flow, reduce the debt, and continue to focus on, you know, overall improving the balance sheet in totality. When you look at individual businesses, our food processing business has managed to grow globally at about 6%. Our plastic sheet business for the first half, again, overseas has managed to grow almost close to 15%. We have seen that, while in India the businesses have been slow, our export business from India has also grown substantially. So, too much of rain or these issues were a cause of concern, but where we could, management focused in terms of exports or overseas business or the food business, and, and that helped us to reduce the impact of negative business sentiment in the domestic market, domestic agriculture market. All in all, I think as where we are overall, we think the second half looks good. And as I said, one, because partly rains have been quite good, that should generate demand itself. We have also seen the cash flow in the ecosystem. So a lot of cash which was not released due to election and whatnot has been released as a direct benefit transfer to the farmer, which creates a better ecosystem. That has also happened over the last few weeks. So that's positive compared to where we were in July or August. And generally speaking, polymer prices, which is our main raw material for drip and pipe business, have remained benign, even though recently, oil had gone up all the way to close to $80. But it has started, it has come down again. But if you think globally, whether China, Europe or US, those economies are not really growing that large. So we expect over the next few quarters, polymer prices, unless there's some kind of a global shock, either way, polymer prices should remain benign, and that should help, to grow the business. Our planning in terms of the retail business and our overall strategy, generally speaking, right, between 21 to 24 has done well. In 2021, our total retail business was hardly, I think, around 1,200 crores. And March 24, our overall business was very close to 2,400 crores. So over 4 years, between 21 to 24, we kind of double the retail business. And the idea over the next 3 to 4 years would be again double the retail business, right? Because as we deepen the network of the dealers and as we cover the additional geographical area, I think that would and also add more urban thing to our piping sales and try and sell pipes also beyond agriculture, while our primary focus has been agriculture. But we have evolved and developed new product ranges which will cover all types of pipe requirement, right? Whether that's for drainage or that's for rainwater, whether that's for fire sprinklers, whether for subsoil drainage, for flood control or desalination project or in power plants, piping systems are quite everywhere. So we have, we have spent last few quarters to evolve and develop all types of new piping systems where we can go and address markets beyond agriculture, which kind of partly help us de-risk and also de-seasonalize the business we have. So I think that is what the quarter has been. So while revenue and earnings, it has been not up to the mark. But I think in terms of cash flow and balance sheet, on that it has done quite well. And we think in the second half, as the revenue and earning come back, and the discipline on the cash flow as well as, earnings from the operating activities would allow us to create far more favorable, financial health of the company. And not only financial health, but it would help us to actually set the stone or set the foundation for significant growth going forward. So, as I talked about the cash flow, even in the current quarter, at the console level, net cash generated from operating activities of about 212 crores. So, as that I have said, overall, that basis, company is well poised. We have good production capacities. We have better network than we had a couple of years ago. Raw material prices are quite reasonable and benign. And I think we are raring to go as the market starts to go and capture, you know, higher market share where we can. And apart from also consolidating on the higher growth we have in, you know, food business or plastic sheet business where we have done well. So with that note, you know, considering this, these are, you know, start of Diwali holidays, we would not like to take a lot of time from all the investors. And with that, I would like to close my opening statement, and we will be very happy to answer any or all queries which, you know, you will have. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Kohli. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Jain. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Great. So, Mr. Jain, this clarification which you made on the second half, that now we have to work harder and get to about 66-67% for the overall, to maintain the overall guidance, we are still maintaining the overall revenue guidance of close to 7,000 crores?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Or we have to, because this quarter there has been a bit of a setback, do we sort of revise it a little lower?
I think, you know, any of our guidance, right, it is a bit qualified with the seasonality. But I think while this quarter was bad, right, if I look at the first half in total, if you look at it, company has done, compared to last year, almost 500 crores, right? And then, let's say we were planning to grow at least double-digit growth, 10 to 12, so we lost 200 crores there. So total shortfall in the first half compared to our estimation is in total 700 crores. Out of 700 crores, based on specific orders we have in hand, which were not there this time and so on, I think about 400 to 500 crores will be covered. The remaining 200 crores, whether will be covered or not, depends on how strong the season is in month of February and March. That is a little bit difficult to say. So I think, you know, if our original expectation was this 10 to 12% growth, I would say at least 7 to 8%. We are still calculating for sure. Anything above, right? Despite this 700 crore reduction, let's say compared to estimation, as a YOY comparison, we are still feeling okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'll rejoin the queue, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Praneet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Standard. So I have questions about basically the trade receivables. So right now, in the last four to five years, we've taken a loss allowance of about 200 crores. I'm curious about how much was it a factor of the government-linked projects and something else. And you also mentioned in previous con calls that there's like few states like Andhra, Gujarat, Telangana, and Tamil Nadu to have a government procures on behalf of the farmers. And Andhra has had a lot of has a higher level of trade receivables. To what tune is the trade receivables in overall this particular channel of government procuring for the farmers? And how is it with Andhra's trade receivable situation at this point of time?
So I think Andhra trade receivable is better than right now compared to, let's say, what it was in June quarter. So they have been able to release some of the old receivables over last, 4 to 8 weeks. And indications from the government is that by end of November, early December, so let's say before end of December quarter, they would be able to clear all the old outstanding. So that's a quite positive news. We saw over last 4 to 8 weeks again that from Gujarat itself, considerable amount of old outstandings were released. So yeah, at least two states we have seen a definite positive indication of old receivables getting down to the lower level. Overall, these, we have the state view on orders on behalf of the farmer. There is no delinquency, right? There is a delay. But as I said, two of these major states, we see significant improvement. And we anticipate by December, everything old will be go away and only the new receivables which we create now should stay. So that's a positive development. And that is what you see, that overall cash flow generation has been, generally speaking, better for us despite weak sales. Overall, the second part of the government, right, which we have this EPC project, against those projects, accumulated receivables over a long period of time. We had taken some provisions over the last few years. And as we complete this project, over a period of time, we have been, trying to complete them and bring them to closure. And now I think over next, maybe somewhere between 2 to 4 quarters, we expect to kind of more or less 90-95% projects would get fully done and completed. And then the remainder of the cash flow should already come through between FY25 in the remainder of 6 months and FY26. And we don't anticipate on our books any receivables left post FY26 linked to the project business, which is currently around 850 crores outstanding. So we anticipate between FY25 and 26 that entire portfolio should come through from where it is now.
So we don't expect to take a further impairment loss of provisions going forward in the next 1-2 years. We expect to receive the rest of the amount, right?
I don't think it would be any significant sum. As we close the project, there could be small amounts here and there, because you won't know unless you close the project and government does measurement, etc. So it's a little bit of unknown. But based on all what we know and what we are doing, we don't anticipate, like in 23, I think 22 and 23, we took significant provisioning. We won't anticipate that type of provisioning related to receivables on the project.
Understood. One more thing about the tissue culture. Tissue culture division has been providing immense amounts of growth to the company, and you mentioned that it has also a significant EBITDA contribution going forward. So I'm curious about basically the inventory holding cycle of this particular business. As we are growing, because it's an organic product, it tends to be perishable, right? So how long can it stay in our inventory before it has to be sold, and what kind of inventory losses or inventory write-downs we need to take if the inventory stays with us for longer? Like, what is the duration between the finished product and the sale of work? Like, what is the, how many amount of days you can keep it as inventory after it's finished? And on top of that, here's about the scaling process. In FY23, we did about 50 crores investment in the business. And we managed to increase our production by around like 20% from FY23 to FY24. Is this the maximum amount of increased production we can take out of the 50 crores we invested in FY23? Or is there more to go? And one more thing regarding the inventory. Right now, this year, I think we have around 206 days worth of inventory for tissue culture business itself. So how do we see this trend going forward? Is it going to remain in a similar way, or as it matures, it might go down a little?
So, I think there are a lot of questions in one question, but by and large, I would say that in the tissue culture business which we have, right, we are growing plants, right? And the plants are delivered to the farmers so that they can plant in the field. So just to take example of our main product, which is banana. So some of the farmers across the country, let's say, would be planting banana in January or even in March, like over a longer period of time, depending on season in each geographical area. So the amount of the inventory we carry is at a different stage. So plant, you know, let's say a plant, once we start from a tissue, we generate a plant. Plant will be 1 week, then it will grow to 2 weeks, like that, right? And it will be with us at least, I would say, let's say for about 6 months, give and take, at different stages when it is growing. So let's say 24 weeks, right? So I will have some inventory of 2 week old plants and some inventory of 24 week plants. Now, the selling model for us is all our plants are kind of booked by customers saying that, look, I want, so now only I know that up to February or March, all my plants are sold. So all customers have already booked the plants. And as they get made or as they reach the maturity of 6 months so that they're ready to be planted in the field, they will get delivered to the farmers. And then we start new again, right, in the cycle. It's an ongoing cycle. So inventory is dynamic to the production and the market demand both. I think as the overall overall tissue culture business for us has been generally improving over a period of time. We expect even in the current year business to grow, I think, overall to about 300 to 350 crore type of scenario. And that because it's higher level profitability, the even if you carry a little bit of inventory, but part of the inventory gets paid because you receive advance from the farmers, right? When they book, they provide 30%, and on the day of delivery, you get fully paid. So it has its own working capital cycle. But all in all, I think, you know, I would say for the total capital employed in tissue culture business, we get, I think, more than 20% return on that.
Understood. So, but like, you had a two-phase plan for this particular business, right? In the phase one, you wanted to reach 500 crores, and in the next 5 to 7 years, you want to reach 1,000 crores. So at each phase, what could be, what EBITDA margin could we expect, and EBITDA contribution could we expect for the entire business, like from this business to the overall business? Like, what could the EBITDA margin profile be for individual level, and what is likely to be the contribution level to the overall business?
So I think, you know, the margin for last few quarters has been hovering around 30% at the EBITDA level. And but some of the, what you call, the cost of the ingredients or the, you know, soilless media, etc., have gone up with overall inflation. So we are in process of actually improving our prices to customers so that we can capture that and maintain our overall profitability. So I think medium to long term, this level of profitability would be maintained, even though there could be, you know, particular quarter or two where it may go down till the time it gets adjusted in marketplace. But all in all, despite the new growth or higher growth in the revenue, we anticipate the profitability be maintained at this level. Now, as we go along, you know, you talked about 3 to 500 crores. Now, 3 to 500 crores would mostly happen with similar product lines which we have today. So more of bananas, more of pomegranate, more of potato, you know, these 4 or 5 major product lines, more sweet orange, etc. But when you want to move from 500 to 1,000 crores, right, we'll be adding other product lines, and they may not have the same level of EBITDA profitability. They might have 25%, for example. So it's very difficult to predict as of now what would be the EBITDA profit after 5 or 7 years. But I think for next 2-3 years, we feel comfortable to say that whatever growth we are hitting to go beyond that 500 crore number, we should maintain this level of profitability.
Understood. Going along the lines of pricing itself, you mentioned that you can raise the price or what it might be dynamic. So in most of the products we operate in, we are the market leaders, whether it be tissue culture for banana or irrigation, everything. So does this market leadership position avail us a price premium on an overall basis? Or like, how is it on all? Because you mentioned in previous con calls, despite the polymer price fluctuations, you're able to maintain your margins. With piping, regards to piping, you told that you changed the price depending on the dynamically, it was always varying. What about the irrigation business and tissue culture business? Like, do we charge a premium or how is it compared to its competitors?
So I think if you look at irrigation business, typically, and in India, it's large amount of, ecosystem of people who produce drip and sprinkler. I think more than few hundred people, right? 300-400 people. So maybe there are more, let's say, 20 organized players and 380 non-organized players. Non-organized players will be typically 30-35% cheaper to us. They will sell non-ISI products, et cetera, et cetera. Among the organized players, where the states are providing orders themselves on behalf of farmer, pricing is similar for everybody. But there are markets like Maharashtra, where everybody is free to do their own pricing. Our product carry premium because of the quality, the brand, the knowledge transfer which we provide to farmers, et cetera. In case of tissue culture also, there are lots of labs in the country who provide tissue culture plants at, I think, 30% cheaper than us. But again, because of quality and the higher output farmer gets for every plant he buys from us, they continue to pay us those higher prices. So we always try and optimize, right, that whatever pricing we have should give us the necessary margins to continue to grow the business and reinvest in the business. But at the same time, it is cost competitive for the customer. So that's the right balance we follow. But we have a price leadership in both of these businesses.
Understood. With exports, you in previous communication.
Sir, Mr. Praneet, could you please fall back in the queue for further questions?
Yeah, sure. It's one last question, if you don't mind.
Sir, actually, there are participants waiting for their turn.
Got it. So thank you.
Thank you. The next question, before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Soman Paul from Relay Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I just wanted to ask, could you just mention the number of, could you just give the receivables which we have completed in this quarter vis-à-vis end of FY 2024? And by when do you think we can practically assume, because we had earlier guided for closer to Q4 of FY 2025? So that is the first question. I'll follow up next.
So I think, if I look at March 2024, and if I understood your question correctly, overall, gross outstanding, the retail, were about 1,988 crore was the receivable at March 2024, which is now at 1,930 crore. When I look at the India business, which is more, let's say, receivable focused due to the government subsidies and the long projects, et cetera. So it has improved overall compared to March. And when you look at individual breakup within that, right, in terms of retail versus institutional government projects, et cetera. So when I really see the government and non-government projects, government, I think, project outstanding September end is almost same as it was March end. The reduction which we have achieved is also on some of our export receivables. We have achieved receivables reduction in, where government places order on behalf of farmers. We talked about earlier a little bit about Andhra and Gujarat, where we have recovery of old receivables. There it has gone down. But as we have said earlier, I think by March of this year, FY 2025, you will see significant improvement in this number of 1930 crore because of reduction, one-time reduction, as the project tables come through as we close the project. And then our overall days outstanding, right, DSO, would also be substantially improved. If I really look at right now, non-government receivables, they're maybe close to already 98 days or so. And the government receivables are much higher. But as I said, now sales are going down and receivables still remain high. But as you go into March, you will see a substantial change.
Sir, I think the question was more pertaining to the ones, not the regular state of business, but just on the government side, because I think I've been hearing this, that we are on course of reducing the receivables, but like you said, there has been no significant number on the government part. So, sir, given the fact that I think Maharashtra election dates are around, and then there will be code of conduct, so how do you think that can be kind of manage a significant? Because this is something which has been a bit of a bother, other than the factors which are beyond your control, like close monsoons. Can you just throw some light on this particular part, please?
I think specifically Maharashtra, we expect post 23rd November things should get back to normal once the results are announced. But out of the project business, Maharashtra is not that big, right? Out of the receivables, Maharashtra has maybe 15% of the project receivables. Just to quickly cover what you are saying, if I really see, I'll just look at last 4 years, right, quickly. So 21, on the government projects, we recovered 500 crores. In 22, we received 667. In 23, we received 857 crore. In 24, 436 crore. So when you look at just over last 4 years, on government projects specifically, close to about 2,500 crores have been recovered. But at the same time, as we are completing the various projects, right, we have done also the new billing, which is maybe close to 2,100 crore. So if I see in last 4 years, so new billing on government projects has been, as I said, close to 2,100. We have recovered 2,500. So overall reduction of 400 crore has happened during that period of time. But today, we are not now doing, our billing this year may be down to 250, 300 crore as we complete the last stages of the project, right? And next year, it may be down just to maybe 100, 150 crores. That is the remainder part. But what we need to recover around 850 plus whatever is the remainder billing I spoke about. So over the next 2 years, close to, maybe 1150, 1200 crores would come. And that way, overall receivables, currently, as I said, 1930 is the overall receivable. We expect this out of that about 800 and odd crore will simply go away for all the time. And company's receivable size will be down to 1,100 crores of the all other businesses which are there.
I mean, I really hope, sir, because, I think the reason why you said that a lot of people are doing good business with government as of now, but I think that is the reason why we are having the current market cap, right? Because there are too many, past activities for which we are overdue. Sir, one more thing I just wanted to ask. Do you kind of foresee that EBITDA from our tissue business itself outgrowing or, outpacing all the other segments combined together? Because that, I think, is the jewel in your crown currently. That less receivable, high EBITDA kind of margin, very well leadership, and Jalgaon specifically being that banana hub for not only India, I mean, mostly going for export. So I mean, on a longish view, do you kind of foresee that the EBITDA from tissue itself should outgrow or be more than combined other businesses together?
So let's say even tissue culture grows to 1,000 crores, and at 30% EBITDA, if you maintain, it would be 300 crores. But drip today, let's say 2,000 crore with 15-16% EBITDA is already more than 300 crores. And drip will continue to grow going forward as well. So, when we look at businesses, we are looking at, the idea is that the drip, as we move forward, once the projects are out of our life, right, my normal receivable cycle on drip is also quite long. Would be, you know, retail cycle of drip would be less than 30 days in terms of receivables. And for on that business, to move as we improve production capacity utilization, move from current 15-16% to 18% EBITDA, that could provide great ROC as well as, let's say, tissue culture is provided. So our focus is not just on absolute EBITDA, but overall improving the ROC cycle. And there, the idea of going forward, right, as we use this government receivable as they come back, we use to deleverage ourselves to pay off all the, you know, term debt and NCDs, etc. The idea going forward that individually, as per the new business cycle, the retail business cycle, whether for drip or whether for pipe or tissue culture, should all generating north of 20% ROCs for sure. And so that's where our focus is on. That's where we want to bring our working capital cycle to. And while drip may be 16-18% EBITDA, pipe may be 12-13% EBITDA, tissue culture may be, you know, 30% plus EBITDA. But overall, then, when you look at capital involvement, then each of business should be focusing on more than 20%. And I think definitely we see 26 onwards achieving these numbers.
Just one small last personal thoughts, sir. I think we've been trying to be aggressive, but fortunately or unfortunately, we've been falling below our guidance. So I would really hope, sir, we have a time where, you know, we are at least able to at least meet the guidance which we are giving, and perhaps exceeding that would be, you know, beneficial, because, you know, we are really far off from what we should be, you know, from where we should be. So that's a personal comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praneet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the chance again. So I was curious about the exports. So the company was expecting to achieve around 30 million from the year one of the partnership between Rivalis and us. So how are we on track with the particular plans of that? And in Q1 of this year, we did 86 crores of revenue from exports. Do we expect to follow the similar run rate going forward in the year? And out of this 86 and overall contribution over the year, what is expected to be contribution of Rivalis and other direct exports from Jane to neighboring countries?
I think, generally speaking, exports are improving. I think apart from the good exports which we had in the first quarter, this quarter also we have registered very good number on export growth, and it is combination, whether the village or the other customers which we have in totality. In fact, if I look at in the second quarter, overall exports, we have registered close to about 14.5%, so almost 100 crore rupees, I think we had in the second quarter. And for the overall first half, our exports are at 188 crores as against last year's 146 crores, so registering 29% growth. So it's a combination of Rivalis plus others. And, you know, there are some other, I think, projects related to exports which are in pipeline as we speak. Order flow is also good from Rivalis as well as other customers. So we feel, you know, quite okay on the export side in terms of what is in pipeline or what we see already, you know, kind of we have view on it, and the rest. So that export, you know, what we have maintained this year, first half, 28% growth, I think would be something that is our target for the whole year, to maintain similar level of the growth.
So, but in next 2 to 3 years, 2 to 3 years, how do we see this trend going forward? Like, is it going to, because you mentioned, highlighted Bhutan in one of the earnings calls, saying that we have been giving a significant amount of product to Bhutan, and we are also expecting it to go to other neighboring countries. Because as part of the partnership, we are not supposed to go further than that, right? It's only mostly neighboring countries for the irrigation business. So how do we see the direct sales from Jane to neighboring countries going forward? Like, to what quantum can we expect sales from neighboring countries in the next 2 to 3 years, that is 200 or 300 crores? And from Rivalis itself, how do we expect the revenues to grow in the next 3 years? Because, right, we expected 30 million the first year, and I don't think we're close to that yet, as of such. But going forward, can we expect 100 million run rate for this particular partnership, or how is it going to be?
I think the idea over long term is there that, you know, we should grow to that level. But as of now, the first stop was to, you know, go and hit that 30 million number. But, you know, company, you know, let's look at the overall export, right? This year, you know, our target is, you know, cross 500 crore total exports, right? And that's not just irrigation export, but also piping. I think we have some good traction on piping. We export plastic sheet and drip irrigation. And our internal target is, while this year, you know, we closed or crossed 500 crore, but, you know, the strategy which we are setting up is that over the next three to four years from that 500 crore, how do we double the exports of the company and take it to 1,000 crore? And good part of that, apart from, you know, Rivalis, which I mentioned, has to come from the piping export, has to come from nearby countries where we can sell irrigation. But, you know, if you think about Bhutan and Nepal and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, et cetera, these countries do not have very large budgets of their own, so they will depend typically on multilateral funded projects, right, to improve their agriculture or irrigation systems. And we are working on some of these. If they come through, then that would give a big leg up to this growth potential in the region. But meanwhile, currently, you know, we are supplying to Bhutan, and I think, as I said, so what you see this year, first half growth of 29%, means we are selling more to Rivalis, we are selling more to nearby countries, as well as our pipe exports are also growing. And as I said, this particular quarter, in fact, exports have grown close to overall 15%. And within irrigation, irrigation growth was 48%. So again, quarter-to-quarter variations can come, but generally speaking, you know, if we are thinking that domestic market in India will grow to 10%-15%, our thought process internally is that exports must grow 20%-30%.
Understood. So I think plastics has lifted the boat for the last two, three years very much after, especially the drop in revenues after our sale of international business. Plastic has taken it up, and we've been growing significantly in the plastic division. And you mentioned that plastic sheet business, plastic sheet division especially, has been giving you north of 20% ROCE in the overseas business. How do we see that panning out going forward? Like, what is the volume expectation, let's say, amount expectation we might see in the next three to five years for the only overseas division? And how big is it in the plastic division on an overall basis? Because piping, and one more thing about piping is that you also mentioned you wanted to go to the urban markets and actually grow apart from the agriculture use at this point of time. So what are the efforts we are putting into this, and how can we make inroads? Like, what in the next two to three years, can we see that we actually meaningfully get market share in this particular urban or residential market, or how do we see it?
So I think that you have to just break your question into two. One is about the overseas plastic business and one domestic. So if you look at overseas plastic business, that has done well. I think I look at just the first half, this business has grown 15%. And as you know, most of economies in Europe or U.S. are growing 2% or 3%. So overall, our business has been doing well. But, you know, because overall economic growth is not very high, to as long as we maintain this 10%-15% growth, I think, through mostly organic, but maybe some inorganic aligned opportunities, that would be good. And it has a good ROCE, good level of profitability, because I think that business also has maintained close to now 13%-14% EBITDA. So our long-term plan is to be about 12% EBITDA. You know, and it is somewhat a commoditized business, right? But within that, we have some value-added products for the U.S. building market, et cetera. So it's not plastics, it is more you could look at as a building materials product as part of our portfolio. And as I said, doing well, we expect to continue to do well, despite headwinds in some of the markets around the world because of high interest costs, et cetera. Now they have started bringing down the interest costs, so hopefully their economies spur more, and we have strong balance sheet overseas, so that looks good. In terms of domestic piping business, overall plastic, as you rightly said, has done quite well for us to take the company out of difficult time, and it really supported us. And again, this quarter was overall weak for all product lines, including piping. But generally speaking, I think we are very, I think, not just ambitious, but we feel very confident about piping business, because whatever business we have, right, you know, close to 2,000 crores or whatever that size is as a plastic business, we are still in only limited part of the country selling our products. So larger rural area, we still cover other geographical parts of India. And within the areas we are already operating, selling to urban applications such as plumbing, residential buildings, etc. That whole portfolio has kind of built. We are still slow on uptake on, you know, building distribution into urban areas. But, you know, I think you will start seeing maybe from January quarter a lot more revenue coming from this particular aspect. So again, if we have, you know, we're talking a little bit of medium term, 3 year plus scenarios, we are very gung-ho on the plastic business, especially because that particular business is not linked to any subsidies, it's not linked to specific government policy. There is still a lot of demand in that sector, and as we increase our availability and our dealer base into areas where we are not operating, and despite the fact there is a lot of competition, but there is always a market for, you know, good quality brand, you know, which we have. And so we might be operating just in, you know, 30% of the market, which is focused on quality, but we would still, you know, be able to get certain market share there. So all in all, very positive on the plastic pipe business in India. Overall, quite happy with the overseas plastic sheet business. But I won't say overseas plastic sheet business can do miracles, right, because those economies grow small. And the numbers we already have, whether ROC, whether growth, profitability are already good. So to maintain that would be nice. But stupendous growth one would anticipate would come only from India plastic piping business.
Understood. But the thing, I think we primarily grew in plastic division because of our innovation, right, during projects or whatnot. So what was the project size in the overall plastic business? Because you mentioned that there's a small division of in plastics that you're doing EPC or like projects with. So what was the size of that? And going forward, and you also advocated for the point that you wanted the entire piping industry together, especially PVC, to get together to join a coalition just to enter the market similar to cement or other pipings. So how is that going so far? And like, how do we expect us to enter this market? Because you mentioned that you have been slow in entering the residential and these markets, right? So how are we doing? How are we expanding our distributor network right there?
As I said, we continue to grow the piping business into new areas as well, where we have, you know, we are developing new dealer networks. I answered your specific question related to plumbing, etc. There we have been slow, but the normal retail business, we are already growing across the country. In terms of the EPC part in piping, we have not taken any new EPC projects in piping for last 3 years. We are only completing, and most of the existing projects we have completed, one last project which is for drinking water supply in a large city. We need to complete, I think, over the next 12 months, maybe that gets completed in FY26. It would be done and over with. That will still bring about 200 crore rupees of still additional revenue to us as we complete that project. But thereafter, our focus is on retail, because again, retail brings best ROC and huge amount of volume growth with an excellent working capital cycle.
Got it. So like going forward, we want to reduce the debt by a combination of infusion, receivables and all of that debt. So how confident are you going forward? You mentioned that we'll be probably repaying about 200 crores a year in overall principal payments and whatnot, just by keeping up with the payments. So, like, how do we see that? How much do we expect to prepay as soon as we get the money? And like, how are you planning on repayments? Because right now the EBITDA has been under pressure due to headwinds and whatnot. In the case this is going to continue for the next few quarters, what is the plan for the company going forward to make sure they keep up with the debt payments, and how are we planning on repaying the debt and reducing the deleveraging the overall business?
Yes, so I think we did not have any pressure on repayments, even the business was down this particular quarter. And as you saw, we have overall reduced the debt. Between now and March 26, we have close to 300 crore rupees of debt which is falling due for repayment, right? So that will get repaid on the debts based on the internal accruals plus the receivable collections which we have from the government projects as a combination. And there is enough room or, you know, cushion there where we don't have to worry about repaying the debt. The other part is the 0% entities we have in India. Part of them needs to be, paid between, overall, that needs to get repaid between now and 2028. So we have about 3 years to pay off that, about 800 and odd crore rupees of those entities. So between, again, our accruals, even at the current level of accruals, let's say just March 24 level of accruals, without even growth, and some receivables coming from the project should suffice to provide for full repayment of those NCDs. So after the payment of these NCDs as well as normal debt which is falling off between now and 26, what would be left would be only 1500 crore cash credit, working capital debt into the main company. And that, you know, by then hopefully EBITDA is 700-800 crore, right? So then you can sustain 150 crore rupees of interest or more interest on 750 crore rupees of EBITDA. So we don't foresee that as an issue thereafter. So, you know, generally speaking, right, we had big debt issue 3 years ago. We are quite, you know, balanced now on the debt issue. It is no more a concern. Of course, it needs to get repaid, and I think for 2-3 years, majority of debt will get repaid through internal accruals and better working capital management. And overall, you know, our equity is 5,000 crore, debt is 3,500 crore, and as we go along, debt will continue to go down as profits come in. So debt to equity ratio would be, I think, going forward less than half. So all in all, I don't foresee debt is an issue.
And in the agro division, I think we were not able to concentrate on the division because we were going through a little bit of trouble in the main company, right? But like, how do we see it going forward? Because many companies in the space took advantage of the PLI scheme to grow their businesses in a very effective manner because government support was there. So how are we going forward on the capex of this and capacity utilization on the overall basis? Because scaling up production is, in this business also is very capital intensive, right? How do we plan to sustain this growth we are expecting of 10 to 15% despite it being a mature business? So how do we see that going forward? And in terms of the spices also, are we also planning on catering to the international markets, like such as exports?
So first, quickly, you know, we do export actually out of agro-processing business. Almost 40-45% is already being exported to 50 countries around the world. Second, we already have good level of production capacities. So I don't think we need to put a lot of capex to take the revenues to the next level. As things are stabilizing overall into the business, I think next 3 years we can grow, especially India business. You know, food again has two components, India and overseas. So let's say this year if we do 1800 crore, let's say India would be, you know, 700-800 and overseas is 1000-1100, that's the breakup. Overseas is doing quite stable. And, you know, as again, those economies are growing 2-3%, we should maintain growth of 8-10% overseas business on annual basis. And the India business, as we use more production capacities, we will have ability to take this 6-100 crores to maybe about 3 years to 12-1300 crores, depending on the market and the demand. So, and there is a competition and people get PLI and all of that is true, and we were not there at that point of time. But, because you said that business is working capital intensive, because that is the nature of the business, that you process inventory in short period of time and sell over a longer period of time, we are also conscious of that fact, and as a group, as a combined consol entity, you know, we want to take our working capital cycle, free cash flow, we have a focus. So we won't be investing that much more unless the business comes change to improve working capital cycle. But I think next 2-3 years, we have a clarity there without putting too much of new capital into the business. We'll still manage this level of growth which I'm talking about, as well as better earnings.
So we don't expect to see like substantial any debt reduction from the main company side to infuse into the business, right?
I did not get your question.
I was wondering if the main company would wanted to invest further into the subsidiary to improve, let's say, most of its working capital, right? To reduce some of the working capital and further infuse equity. That is not in the books, right, at this point of time.
No. We would not be investing new money out of the parent into the subsidiary. I think we would expect subsidiary on its own to improve its balance sheet.
Understood. And sorry for bothering with so many questions, but like one last one, sir, regarding.
Sir, the time has exceeded. We will move on to the next question. Okay. It's from the line of Sanjay Kohli from Goldstone Capital. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to know the relationship with Revolus in the domestic market, basically. We are selling to them, they're doing their own brands, they are our competitors. What is the trade relationship with Revolus?
They are our competitors.
Drip irrigation. They are competitors.
They are our competitors. They have their own business, we have our own business. We compete with each other as far as Indian market.
Where do they source? How do they, their products, are they, they've got manufacturing sites here in India as well?
Yeah, they have manufacturing sites and they have been existing here. I think they're manufacturing here for more than a decade. It's quite old. And they operate on their own. We don't have any view into their business. So arm's length market competition.
But we are exporting to them also. We export to them.
We
have our investment in their parent company. They are competitors here, and they owe us money on a trade basis. They are always, they are customers as well.
This is part of a complex international deal, right? We did a deal. We got a $500 million valuation for our business from Temasek. That helped us to reduce our debt by $350 million. We continue to hold the stake into the company. They continue to buy product from us. We continue to compete with them in India. Those are the facts. They are all transparent. They are all arm's length. They are all market-based.
Do they have any tech which they provide to us for our products?
No. We have adequate tech, right? We ran a global company. So we have every technology which we need to sell in India or any other place.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their further closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you all for, a lot of questions and lot of insightful questions. Overall, as I said, right, this quarter was a weak quarter for us because, again, this is typically weakest quarter, but it was even more, and we were surprised. Despite so much of rain, overall rural demand was slow, and all the feedback we have from customers is that it would pick up post Diwali, and with some additional specific projects or work or orders we have, which we have negotiated, we feel second quarter would be much more robust compared to this particular quarter or the first half. Within organization, we are trying to keep up the momentum and tempo to try and meet the original target. We might fall a little bit short of the original target, especially I would say maybe on the revenue side, but with whatever efforts we are doing on the cost and better product mix, that at least on the earning side, we will try and stay, what we had guided at the start of the year. Having said this, generally speaking, each of business in medium term, right, whether irrigation or piping, our focus is to continue to improve working capital efficiencies, because that would generate that free cash flow, which would allow us to, continue to deleverage ourselves while growing at the same time and, unlock the value for the business. Overall, company maintains its leadership in technology, in marketplace, in brand, in pricing power. But some of the legacy issues like this project receivables is still holding us back. And I think as that gets sorted over the next few quarters, we as a company will be more nimble and would be able to move faster during that period of time. So this quarter, again, not great. But overall, I think with the positive free cash flow we have generated, a lot of cash we have generated from operations, the fact that we have been able to reduce the debt during this quarter, speak volume of generally overall team working, towards a particular goal. And as demand starts coming back, I think second half should be much better. And overall, I think when we speak in April or May, hopefully we see, a positive outcome for FY25. We thank you for all your interest, and I wish you again, everybody, a happy, prosperous Diwali and good time with your family. Thank you.
On behalf of DR Choksi FinServ Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.